السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كلامه المجيد والفرقان الحميد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس إنا خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم، صدق الله العظيم. I begin in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, and I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship except Allah, and that His beloved Nabi and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His last and final messenger. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His help, His protection, His mercy, His blessings, and praying and begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst the successful individuals both in this life and the hereafter. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. There was an event that took place yesterday that hundreds of thousands of individuals on the face of this earth are speaking about. Some are literally speaking about it. Some are blogging about it. Some are thinking about it. And every individual has their own opinion in regards to this event. And every individual has a right to have their own opinion in regards to this event. But bear in mind that we as Muslims, we as individuals who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and believe in the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are reminded time and again that whenever we hear something, whenever we read something, we put it in line with the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if that whichever we read or hear is in line with the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is something that we have no harm in adhering to. This event that I'm referring to happens to be a speech that was delivered by the president of this country. He went to the Muslim world. He went to a renowned university. And he delivered an address to the people of the world. But of course, as he delivered this address to the people of the world, because he happens to be a charismatic individual, an individual a lot of people happen to be following, whether they're living in this country or otherwise. A lot of young individuals happen to be following because they feel that he is someone that makes sense to them, that he's of their generation. Although the individuals of the world were listening to this speech, it was the Muslim world that had their ears open to this speech. Right? They were expecting a lot. They wanted a lot. And the president had a lot to say. Right? Believe it or not, he had a lot to say. And then of course, critics afterwards began what they do best. They began critiquing every word, every sentence that he uttered. And everyone had their own opinion. If you've been reading the blogs, if you've been watching the news, you know, everyone has their own opinion. But that being said, we have to bear in mind that as Muslims we've been taught that we analyze everything that we heard with the Sharia, with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And always bear in mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught our ummah to be an optimistic ummah. Our ummah is an optimistic ummah. It behooves our ummah to serve the entire humanity. That's what we've been created for. That's what we've been created for. Now, as we as we, you know, think about what was said, obviously we became very excited that this individual went to the Muslim world. We became very excited when he said, "Assalamu alaikum." Right? By the way, just for the record, it was the longest speech that he has ever delivered, 55 minutes long. Was stopped 12 times because people decided to clap. USA Today, a blogger on USA Today, had to mention that the Muslims clapped every time an ayah was mentioned. Right? There's so, bloggers have written all kinds of things. But what do we as Muslims take away from the speech? We take away the fact that this individual chose to quote certain verses of the Quran, and each one of these verses happens to have a universal concept, universal values in each of these verses of the Quran. Right? Just imagine, he mentioned speaking the truth. Regardless of which faith an individual adheres to, and more importantly, if you happen to be Muslim, we're reminded to speak the truth. Sometimes the truth is in the smaller things. You know, me speaking to my wife, me speaking to my children, me speaking to a colleague. And sometimes it's on a larger scale. Country speaking to each other. Right? Diplomats speaking to each other. Right? Speaking the truth. And being conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Individuals will always remain conscious if they know that there is a higher power watching over them. Right? If individuals don't feel that there's any higher power watching over them, we don't remain conscious. We feel that we're invincible. We can do whatever we want. Many human beings do whatever they want because they tend to forget that there's a higher power watching over them. And that power is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? That power is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now also keep in mind that just as this individual reminded himself that he needed to speak the truth, people have written whatever they wanted to write, but a friend of mine who lives in Davis, but goes to UC Davis and lives, is originally from Southern California, he wrote on his Facebook a very interesting comment, and he mentions, he says, "Yesterday was the day the message of Islam was given to the whole world." Now people, it's not like people don't know about Islam. Right? It's not like people don't know about Islam. But believe it or not, some of the statements that were made yesterday, as truthful as they were, but a lot of times it really depends on who the message is coming from. Right? Now do bear in mind that the message of Islam is the truthful message, regardless of whoever says it. The word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always remain on top. وَكَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ الْعُلْيَا will always stay on top. But there are many, many individuals who may not listen to individuals like yourselves and myself, and who may listen to other individuals. And when they say the same things that we happen to say, sometimes it carries a little more weight. And yesterday, there were many things that you and I found out yesterday that we didn't know. In all honesty, ask yourself, how many of you knew that the United States was first accepted by a Muslim country, Morocco? How many of you knew that fact? Right? Very few people know that fact. And it was a fact that was mentioned. Right? Here's an individual who, you know, people have said all kinds of things about him. But yesterday he was fearless and he said that he has heard the adhan at the break of dawn and at sunset every day when he was growing up. People have said whatever they wanted to. Now, I also understand that many people expected miracles and continue to expect miracles from this individual. Now, things that have happened in the last 8 years, we're not going to be able to erase it overnight. Right? There's trust issues here. There's a lot of trust issues here. Right? The next time I fly back into the country, it's not like just because someone made a speech yesterday is going to get any easier for me. No, it's going to remain the same. But the point is that the individual who is steering this ship has some sense. Maybe not all, we're all human beings, right? Has some sense that individuals prior to him didn't have. In fact, they didn't even know what the word sense meant. But in all honesty, we have, you know, take that. Let us as Muslims become strong by listening to this message. Right? And don't be apologetic. Don't be pessimistic. Here's an individual who says, Islam is a part of America. Muslims are a part of America. So for all of us who think we're immigrants, once you're living in this land, you are from this land. Now I understand, for 8 years, there have been people out there who've been trying to tell you that if you happen to be following a certain faith, if your skin happens to be of a certain color, you can't be from this land. Now in our hearts we believe we can be. But believe it or not, that rhetoric that's been going on for 8 years has sometimes made us question ourselves. And we've seen ourselves, our family members, our friends feel that maybe this is not the place for me and I'm going to go back. Right? People have done that. People have immigrated. As if they were immigrating from the land of kufr to some better land. Right? As if that's what they felt. They felt that they were immigrating from this land of kufr to some better land. But bear in mind, that we as Muslims, we need to realize as an ummah, as a community, that this is our home. And we're going to make the change here. When the Prophet ﷺ migrated from Makkah to Medina, the Prophet ﷺ made Medina Munawwara his home. And I don't know if I mentioned this in the last few weeks, but I know I mentioned it elsewhere. When the Prophet ﷺ went back to Makkah, the day of Fath Makkah, the day of the liberation of Makkah, the Prophet ﷺ was very strong when he walked into Makkah. The Prophet ﷺ had four different armies enter into Makkah. They didn't all enter into Makkah together. The Prophet ﷺ believed in strategy. Right? They entered into Makkah from four different areas. Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu was asked to enter from the south, because he was a strong commander. And some of those individuals who were the strongest against Islam and Muslims happened to be in the south of Makkah. So he asked Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu to enter from the south of Makkah. But when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam entered into Makkah, there he was. An individual who had been thrown outside of his city comes back as a king. Not as a king of the city, not as a king of a few hundred people, king of the entire land. Right? People from all over, people from different governments have sent emissaries to this individual. Right? The Prophet ﷺ comes back as this king. And people realize that he is the messenger of Allah ﷺ. After all of this, what do historians tell us? The Ansar became worried. The Ansar became worried and said what? Maybe he won't come back with us anymore. Maybe he won't come back with us anymore. But the Prophet ﷺ had made a promise. The Prophet ﷺ had taken an oath. He had told these people, the Ansar, the people of Medina Munawwara, that if you protect me, I'll be with you forever. And they gave him protection. And so he went back to serve the people of Medina Munawwara. He went back to give back to the people of Medina Munawwara. Right? For those of us that have found, you know, we've come to these lands, you might have come 5 years ago, you might have come 50 years ago, it doesn't matter. But we found a better place in this land than we did in some of the places where some of us came from, if you happen to be immigrants. Right? You found better things here. Now, it's time to give back. It's time to give back. We've taken enough. When we retire, we can't run away and retire away from here. When we retire and when we have free time, it's time to give back to the ummah. And by the way, after that speech was made, and it's happened all the time, but people are now looking at us even more. And believe it or not, they might have had hatred in their hearts for all these years, the last 8 years this rhetoric has been going on, but let me guarantee you, as of yesterday, if you've been walking around and people can tell you're Muslims, I can guarantee you there's some respect that people have for you now. A lot of individuals that didn't have respect, I guarantee you they have respect for you. Now, you're not a Muslim anymore. When we walk the streets, and this has happened forever, but even more now, we're not Muslims anymore. We are Islam. You are not a Muslim. When you walk on the street, when you interact with individuals, you are not a Muslim. You're not a single individual. You're speaking for the entire Ummah. You are Islam. You are speaking for your faith. That's why it behooves us to be on the best of our character. It behooves us to be the most honest individuals. It behooves us to be the most righteous individuals. It behooves us to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the honor that He subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. And for those of us that are thinking, that happen to be immigrants or children of immigrants, that think we're immigrants here, well, guess what? No, we're not. There have been Muslims living on these shores for many centuries. There have been Muslims living on these shores for many centuries. And we have just joined them and their children. We have just joined them and their children. Just, you know, think about it for a moment. Think about it for a moment. You know, there's people out there, people, you know those religions that happen to be religions that invite others to their faiths? Right? If invite others to their faith. They're looking for all kinds of ways to invite people. Okay, they're looking for all kinds of ways to invite people. And here, we have a free opportunity. People are inviting on our behalf. Now always, you know, this is something that we were taught when we were young. That in order for a heart to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that heart needs to be cleaned out. You wake up in the morning, you want to make tea, you're going to pick up a pan, right, a pot to make tea in. That pot needs to be cleaned out before you can put your water or milk or whatever it is that you put inside there. Everything needs to be cleaned out. That's why when we say La ilaha, the first thing we're doing is cleaning our hearts. If there happens to be any ilah inside our heart, we're removing that ilah. And then we're saying, illallah. We're putting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into our heart. Right? We're putting Allah... So cleansing, that's the first step. And that's what, as our generation, in a generation where there's all kinds of things going on, the first thing that we need to learn to do is educate and remove the hatred. That's, you know, we may spend... An entire generation may go by and that's all they will be doing. Cleaning, educating, and removing the hatred. Call it damage control if you will. But even if it takes an entire generation to do that, there's no harm. As long as we have a goal. As long as we have a goal. Muslims are very short-sighted. Here's this individual who happens to be making statements that no one had the courage to make in the past. And what's happening? There's individuals saying, oh, he hasn't said enough. What do you expect? How much do you expect? Right? At the end of the day, it's one human being. Yes, he's very powerful. But of course, if he wants to be in that seat of his, there's something called wisdom. There's something called hikmah. Let us look at the bright side. Let us look at the bright side. We need to make a place for ourselves and our children. Right? Everything, and I've said this so many times before, everything that we do is for our children. And the place that was chosen was very unique. Right? Cairo. You've had people living, there's so many places on the face of this earth where you had people living and then they were gone. No one lives there anymore. Right? People, cities have become empty. Right? If this motor industry goes down, Detroit will become empty. Right? Eventually that's what happens, right? People live in a certain place for a number of years until they, you know, one generation, two generations, three generations, and after that generations get wiped out and they start living elsewhere. But here's a city that's been established for so many years. And there have been people living there for years and years and years, for generations, for decades, for centuries. And not only that, Islam has been taught in these cities for centuries. A sister came up to me recently and said, I started wearing my scarf after I went to Cairo. This was in December. She took a little vacation to Cairo in the winter break. And she said, I started wearing my scarf in public after I came back from Cairo. SubhanAllah, I said, why Cairo? Why not anywhere else? Why, if she comes from a so-called Muslim country, I said, why not your country? Why Cairo? She said, I came to realize that there happens to be the city where women happen to be very well educated in a lot of public places, and they're not scared to wear the hijab. And she goes, that was my inspiration. People get inspirations from all different kinds of areas, different kinds of places. We have the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have the truth with us. And the greatest return that we can do to that that's been given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest way to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to actually practice on that message. And let me tell you, it's not easy. I say this time and again, but ask yourselves simple questions. Are you being kind to your parents? Are you being kind to your children? Are you eating halal? Are you doing your salat on time? Are you being fair to your family members? Are you providing a halal? These are simple questions. This is where you begin. Some of us want to do the greatest things in life. It's not about the greatest things in life. It's the smaller things in life. That's what matters. It's the inside that matters. Clean this and everything else will be clean. Clean this, everything else will be okay. Is your income halal? Are you conscious of Allah? Are you doing your prayers on time? Are you smiling at people when you see them? Are you being kind? I'm going to a fundraiser tomorrow evening. There's an organization that had to be established and is very much needed for individuals who are, you know, domestic violence exists in our communities. Right? We're not all, now people think when they think domestic violence, they think it doesn't exist to begin with. And then those of us that think there's domestic, people think it's all about beating people. Sometimes domestic violence doesn't have to do with beatings. There's a lot of emotional abuse as well. People don't realize that. There's a lot of emotional abuse. Ask yourself this simple question. Are you a part of that? If you are, how can you change it? If you are, how can you change it? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. We turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We turn to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We turn to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We remain conscious at every step that we take. I'm teaching an Islamic manners class. A very interesting comment was made by an uncle who's here with us right now. You know, I was mentioning some things in my class about how, you know, the simple things. Simple things. When you enter a masjid, you enter with your right foot. You're asked to put your right shoes on first. Take your left one off first. It's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's a certain adab to doing certain things. Now some of us have no adab. We don't even know what adab means. It's in fact, in one of the first chapters of the book, it said that we live in an adabless society. But it's not the fault of the people that they don't have adab. They don't know about adab. Because they've just never been, it's never been made, you know, they've never understood it. They've never seen adab. Right? You've never been exposed to adab. So, you know, the smaller things. I was mentioning this in class, and one of the uncles made a comment yesterday and said, you know, if an individual is just conscious about the smallest things at all times, you're automatically conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ultimately, that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Right? Ultimately, that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Being conscious of Him at all times. We're only conscious of Allah when we want to be conscious of Allah. Right? That's not for us to decide. That's not for us to decide. Allah has already decided for us. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Right? Your nafs, your souls, and your wealth has already been purchased by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't even own it. And guess what? Allah is very kind. He does good business. He's giving you Jannah back in return. But ultimately, these don't belong to you. They belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us. Yeah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Yeah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease our affairs. Yeah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our ummah an optimistic ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to grant us all good, both in this life and the hereafter. There are many individuals who are ill, two or three of them who happen to be in the hospital as we speak. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them all a quick, easy and complete recovery. There's an individual who is in our community. His grandfather recently passed away, I think a few days ago. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him maghfirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease our affairs. Amin ya rabbal alameen. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimeen.